This is Out of School, a podcast at the intersection of technology and education. My name is Fraser Spears and I'm joined again by Bradley Chambers. Tonight we have three sponsors for the show. Those are Jam Software, Simply Fix It, and XMA All Learn. We'll tell you more about all of those as the show goes on. Bradley, how are you doing?
Getting ready for Thanksgiving here in the US. Of course, it will have already happened when the show is released. But yeah, it's nice to have the week off from school. We've got the Christmas decorations up today. And started blasting the Christmas music on the Apple TV.
Fantastic. Fantastic. I love that Christmas starts early there. You get your Thanksgiving and just get into it.
Christmas or Thanksgiving is late this year. It's usually like the third Thursday of November. That's just the way it fell. Of course, really now, Christmas season, shopping-wise, seems to begin right after like Halloween. It seems like there's already Black Friday deals going on, even though it's not Black Friday.
I actually saw Christmas stuff out before Halloween this year. That was my... It's finally crossed over. Christmas is now officially like nearly a third of the year.
Pretty soon we'll be planning for it like right after the following.
Oh my goodness, yeah.
Cool. So what we're going to do today, we're going to do our third annual Christmas gift show. We have some news before that. So next 2 weeks, we're going to be talking about the changes to Apple's deployment strategy with iOS 9. There's some new things we want to kind of work through. And then we'll take 2 weeks off like we always do for Christmas and then be back in January.
Okay, that sounds good. Before we get into the gifts, Bradley, I wanted to just drop in. I was at an IT manager's meeting today in Edinburgh and met some listeners to the show, which was awesome. And one of the things I wanted to mention was there was an SE from Apple presenting there, and I just learned a couple of things that I thought listeners might be interested to know that I had completely missed in the iOS 9 rollout, which was a couple of new restrictions that I hadn't heard about before. One was that you can actually prevent changes to the passcode on the device. I don't know if you knew that. I certainly didn't know that. You can basically, whenever the passcode gets set, you can apply a configuration profile that prevents it from being changed again. And I don't know if you have... Do you use passcodes on your devices at school?
No, we don't.
No. We do up from about 7 years old upwards. And what we find is that sometimes people... Like, the kids won't take off their password. They have to keep it on because that's been a capability for a while in configuration. But what they'll do sometimes is they'll put a simpler password on, or they'll change the password in some way. And that is a major pain in the backside because sometimes, you know, the kids might be at PE and they'll leave me their iPads in order to do something on them, like fix them or whatever, or update them. And if they've changed their passcode to the one that, not the one that I set, then I can't do whatever admin stuff it is they want. Now, I could clear the passcode with Casper, but that depends on the device actually being on the network, which they're not always if they've been asleep or turned off or powered down or whatever. So preventing changes to passcodes is pretty cool. And also, and I never thought about this before, but you can prevent changes to Touch ID fingerprints, which is going to be important in the new world when we get a refresh and we get iPads with Touch ID, which I would really like the kids to be able to use, but I don't want them to be able to enroll their friends in Touch ID. So I thought that would be quite a good thing, you know, when you're doing the deployment, right? Sit in front of me, Touch ID with your finger, let me see you doing it, okay. Bam, I'm going to lock that in with a passcode, with a profile. So those are two options to do. And the third thing, Bradley, was that with this new device assignment stuff, where you can assign an app to a device without using an Apple ID, there requires to be a flag set in iTunes Connect which says that this app can be assigned to a device. Now, developers can't actually set that flag by themselves. It gets set automatically when the app goes through app review. So all new or newly updated apps will have that flag. But the SE was pointing out that some older apps, and particularly in education, some people are running stuff that's basically abandonware at this point. Those older apps will not have that flag set, so you won't be able to do device deployment with them. So it's just something to be aware of you can certainly check it if you look in the VPP portal and look for the apps you want to check. You can check, there's a mention down at the bottom of the information panel that says whether or not that app can be device assigned or not. So it's just something to be aware of if you're thinking about doing device assignment later on.
Now, would a free app that had not been updated for device assignment, it still wouldn't allow you to deploy it?
That's my understanding. My understanding is that an app has to have gone through app review at least once since iOS 9 shipped in order to get that flag.
Well, you know, that changes things really for a lot of schools when they look at their app strategy deployment. I mean, we've got multiple apps that I know have not been updated in at least a year.
Yeah.
And so that kind of goes back to what we've always said about picking a few apps to rely on mm-hmm. that seem to have a clear business model and that continually be updated, because this is one of those situations. It's honestly, I think, the first time I have seen a situation where apps are just no longer usable anymore. I mean, if you change your deployment strategy to be device enrollment or
device assignment,
yeah. There's not, you have to, you either don't do that or you don't use these apps.
Yeah. Yeah, basically. And I mean, what was said was that developers don't have to really do anything except just resubmit for review. I mean, like, even just bump the version number and resubmit the same binary. That would be enough just to have the app go through app review. And as long as like something hasn't broken in the meantime, as long as the app still runs on iOS 9, it'll pass app review, go back into the store with a new version number, and it will get this flag turned on. But it has to go through app review in order to get that flag. So yeah, you're right. It's a potential breakpoint in some deployments in terms of these are apps we can no longer use because they're not being supported anymore. And it's possible that could happen.
Yeah, that'll be fun to watch. I guess I will be dealing with that in the spring/summer of next year.
Yes, 2016 on school is going to be deployment year again, isn't it?
Yeah, we should probably, like, I don't know, we should probably talk about that offline, but we should probably look at updating our deployment series. It's been a couple of years, and
there's some things have changed. There's a fair number of new things to see, yeah.
So, but before we move on, let's thank our first sponsor of the night, the fine folks at Jamf Software. You guys know Jamf. They provide tools that power widespread use of Apple products in schools and businesses, Macs, iPads, iPhones, and Apple TVs. They have a great app for teachers called Casper Focus that allows them to take control of their deployment from their iPad. Allows them to conduct secure exams within an app, select a specific Apple TV assigned to their class, choose and distribute iBooks, and even initiate AirPlay right from within Casper Focus. Learn more about Casper Focus and the Casper Suite at jampsoftware.com, jamfsoftware.com. So, this is like our gift show. And the reason we do this is we're all, if you're listening to the show, you're probably into technology, and this is kind of what we always want for Christmas. And so we, Fraser and I, always like to run through the five or six things that we either have and would recommend, or we're asking for from our loved ones as well. So, Fraser, do you want to kick it off?
Sure. I think one of the things I know I'm getting for Christmas is a new sport band for my Apple Watch. And I think, as you saw at the iPad Pro and the iPhone 6S launch event, Apple brought out a whole range of new sport band colors. And I think I was actually using this in a lesson recently for, we were looking at combinatorics, and one of the things I was asking the kids was, how many different Apple Watches can you make with the combinations of case materials, case colors, case sizes, and all the different bands and colors? Let's count them all up and see how many Apple Watches you can make. And the answer was near 800 different combinations you could make. And one of the big reasons that that number was as high as it was is because there's now something like 12 or 13 different colors of sport band now. And it's a pretty affordable present. It's, in the UK, it's £39. I think it's $39, maybe $49 in the States, I'm not sure. But there is a pretty affordable present, and the new colors are great. I love loads of the colors. And the only thing I regret, Bradley, is I regret now getting a black watch, because the black body doesn't go with that many colors. A lot of the colors are quite subtle, and they seem to suit better the aluminium body. So, but I think I'm getting an orange one for Christmas. That's my favorite of the new ones. My absolute favorite Apple Watch right now is the gold aluminium watch with the navy blue band, which I think is the coolest one I've ever seen. But given I've got a black body watch, I'm going to get the orange band.
Yeah, I like the red band. Like, if I was to buy an Apple Watch today, mm-hmm. I would probably want the aluminum watch with the red band. So are you still using your watch quite a bit? Like, how's the usage been over time?
I wear it every day. Yep. I would say I'm probably using apps less than I was, but I've got more notifications happening. Using apps like Due and OmniFocus and things like that, and also the calendar, just to push things to the watch. I would say those are the main things that I'm using it for, as well as the time. But having the advanced complications in watchOS 2 is really great. And there's some other watchOS 2 features which I'll mention in my next pick as well.
So my first item is the Griffin iTrip Auxiliary. And so what this is an update, and this came out a few months ago. This is an update to something I've had in my wife's car for years. So what this is it goes into your cigarette lighter, and then there's a 3.5-inch jack in it, and you run a cord to your aux port on your in your car. And then you have one cord coming out that would plug into your iPhone. And they had had a 30-pin edition for years that I would have to actually buy every couple of years because ours would break. You could buy them for $5. Then we had the adapter for the 30-pin to Lightning that we've had since they switched to Lightning. It's also has seen better days. And just this year, they came out with a Lightning edition of this. So now you can have one cord coming in for Lightning, and then runs down to the cigarette lighter. And I guess we shouldn't even call them cigarette lighters anymore, because who even does that anymore? In terms of my cars don't even have actual lighters in them; they're just power sockets. But and the cool thing about this on your device is you don't have to manage the volume on the device, so the car actually takes control of all of the volume. So it's the Griffin iTrip Auxiliary. I've used CarPlay like in demo, and I can't think of a reason I would want that. It's nice, but it just, I don't know. To me, the best car display is when it's a park. Get your music going, get your maps going, and then just put it down and let Siri take over.
Yep, I couldn't agree more. It's one of the things I really like about the Overcast app, is that it's really the buttons are really large, so it's quite easy to hit the play button and the skip button on Overcast if you've got it open in your dashboard as well.
I'm really finding that, like, saying, "Hey Siri," gosh, I should not have said that. I should not have said that. Sorry, everybody. I'm finding that saying that word, like, in the car works really well. It seems, especially with iOS 9, that is working really well. And that's one of the reasons I love Apple Music is the Siri integration. Before we move on, let me thank our second sponsor of the night. It's XMA, a leading Apple solution expert for educations. As an Apple solution expert, XMA is perfectly positioned to support your institution with the deployment of iPads and Macs. XMA has built upon their 30 years of experience to create the unique All Learn program for iPad. With All Learn for iPad, XMA can help you with planning, financing, managing, and all everything that goes into your deployments. They can also use their accredited trainers to deliver Apple professional development to teachers and staff to ensure you get the best results from your Apple products. To learn more about XMA and the All Learn program, visit xma.co.uk or follow them on Twitter at @wearexma. You can learn more about the All Learn program for iPads. So, again, if you're in a school where you want to do a deployment, but you don't really know where to start, the All Learn program would be a great place to start. So that's xma.co.uk. Thanks to XMA for sponsoring the show this week.
Yep, and one of the things that you may want to think about there is your reseller able to put things in the device enrollment program? That was something we were having a conversation about today with the Apple SE, and I can tell you that XMA are definitely one of those companies that can and are good at doing the deployment, all the Apple deployment programs, including device enrollment, so they're definitely worth a look. Okay, so my next one, number
yes.
two? Yep. This is something I absolutely love. And I was given it as a gift by one of my colleagues for my birthday, and it's such a simple thing, but I absolutely love it. It's another Apple Watch accessory, and it's the Spigen Apple Watch charging stand. And this thing is super low cost. I think it maybe costs like £6 or £8 from Amazon. And basically what it is there's lots of different charging stands for the Apple Watch, but most of them came out just as the Apple Watch came out. And what they do is they sort of, they're kind of like a jewelry store stand, that holds the watch upright, as if it's on your wrist, and they hold it in that orientation. But as you know, on watchOS 2, if you put the watch on its side while it's charging, you get this so-called nightstand mode, which shows you the time in a big green, sort of low brightness green color, and it makes the side buttons act as snooze and alarm off in the morning. But the speaking stand is designed to hold your watch on its side so you can use nightstand mode. And you basically, it's just a plastic bracket with a hole in the back where you can fit in the Apple charging cable. And you sort of thread it through the body, and then just goes out into the wall socket. But it's very small, very unobtrusive, and you just drop your watch on it every night, and it just charges away, aligns perfectly with the charger, and it also puts your watch into nightstand mode as well. So it's a really, really great accessory for the Apple Watch owner in your life.
Have you seen the official Apple Watch dock?
Yeah. I have. What a horrible looking thing.
Design aside, obviously I think there's room for multiple kinds of docks for the watch. And yeah. One of the things that's neat about the watch is it seems like I would dare say that, like, if you look at accessories per device, it probably mm-hmm. has the most of any Apple product.
Yeah.
I mean, you think about most people for, like, the phone may have one case and maybe have, like, one or two chargers. Yeah. With a watch, it's like I have, some people might have three bands and then a dock and then two chargers.
Yeah, I mean, when you count the bands in there, the potential for accessorizing from Apple is much higher than any other device, I think.
But I am increasingly becoming concerned about the price of official Apple accessories. I think they are Looney Tunes.
As someone who just spent £49 on a smart cover for my iPad Pro today, I could completely agree with you. It's a crazy amount of money.
Yeah, well, I mean, the problem, I think I may have mentioned this, like, I got my wife an iPad Mini 4, and I really like the smart case for the previous iPad Minis, mm-hmm. but they did not make those. Yet they make a back that costs, like, $49, and then they make, or maybe $39, then they make a smart cover for $49. It's like you end up spending almost $100 for a case.
Yeah.
It's
a piece of absolute nonsense.
It is. I mean, I am all about them making money on accessories and charging a premium because it's like the official third party. But I just think it's like close to $100 for a case is...
Yeah, on a £900 iPad as well. I mean, honestly, it should come in the box.
Right, Yeah. Of course, time was when you had a Mac, you got the display port adapters, both of them, in the box. Remember those days?
Yeah, I know that. I've got a little pouch that goes around with me. It's got about £150 worth of those lightning and mini display port adapters in them. I should probably sell off my Mac ones because I don't use them anymore.
Yeah. I'm finding that I don't use display adapters much anymore. I just don't... Like, if I'm presenting, I usually will honestly do it from an iOS device. Yeah. I just don't plug my Mac up to a projector much. I guess I have one at my desk for my second monitor. But So my next item is I'm going to name three albums that if you don't have, I highly recommend these music albums. And I think I may have mentioned on the last show I'm getting into vinyl. Did I mention my foray into vinyl on our last show?
You didn't mention vinyl, but you did mention a band where a lot of people had beards, so I assumed this was the next logical step.
Yeah, well, for some reason, I'm getting into vinyl. And the nice thing about vinyl is it's kind of something to collect, and they come in big cases, and so I'm getting a record player for Christmas. And so these albums would make great additions to your vinyl collection if you have that. If you have Apple Music, just add them to your library. It is new artist. His name is Leon Bridges, and I'm going to look up he just has one album, so I'm going to look up the name of it. And obviously, we'll have a link for these in the show notes. Let's see. Get to the L's. Leon Bridges, and it is called Coming Home, and it came out this year, so it's a great... it reminds me of music from like the 50s or 60s, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. So Leon Bridges. Second one is, and a band I've talked to you a lot, is Drew Holcomb and the Neighbors. I'm going to recommend their album Good Light. And then the last one is Switchfoot, which is a really, really old, not old band, but they've been around for a while now. And it's their newest album, Fading West. So if you're looking for a CD or a gift purchase on iTunes, I would recommend Leon Bridges, Drew Holcomb and the Neighbors, and Switchfoot.
Good times. My next thing is another Apple Watch thing. So I'm going, this is my hat trick of Apple Watches, which is just very simply a spare charging cable. They're not super cheap, but as you know, the one that comes with the Apple Watch is a huge, big, long thing. And Apple sells a sort of standalone one, which is a little bit shorter. And what I did is I bought one of them and just used that as my charging stand at home. And the long one goes in my travel kit with me so that, you know, if the hotel, as they always seem to be, the hotel sockets are miles away from the bed, you can trail this thing across the room and put it beside your stand. So a second Apple Watch charging cable is a neat thing to have.
Before we move on, do you want to thank our last sponsor?
Yeah. These are the guys at Simply Fix It, which Simply Fix It is a Scottish company, and they're all about iPad repairs for schools. And they have recently expanded their service to cover the whole of the UK. And the reason we're talking about them is because they are one of the main alternatives in this area to Apple's Genius Bar repairs for schools. Their technicians are Apple certified. They carry out screen repairs for a fraction of the cost, less than half, on iPads that we have, less than half of what you would pay for the replacement at the Apple Store. Quality is great. Everything's tested every step of the way. They have stores in Edinburgh and Glasgow. I just walked past one of them today. They have one right on the steps at the Waverley Station in Edinburgh. So if you are getting off the train, drop off your iPad, get it fixed and pick it up on the way back. They have a collect and return service for any school in the UK, doing hundreds of screens a month, and each one of them comes with a free return delivery, 100-day warranty, and an exclusive discount for teachers. So you can save money on iPad repairs, no sacrifice in the quality. Go to simplyfixit.co.uk/schools. And through the end of 2015, if you mention this podcast with your first repair, you'll get 30% off the whole order, with no limit on the number of iPads you can get repaired, so that's potentially a huge discount. So that's Simply Fix It. They're at simplyfixit.co.uk/schools, and we thank them for their support of Out of School.
So I have a question as an American to a London person. Mm-hmm. Why the co.uk? Why not just .uk?
The UK is one of the countries that has second level domains. So we've got .org.uk. And we've got .ac.uk is our university domain. So you guys have .edu, and we have .ac.uk. So, for example, Glasgow University is .gla.ac.uk. Schools in the UK are .sch.uk. We have some of those second level domains are actually used as top level. So you have like police.uk is a domain name that exists. .gov.uk is the government second level domain, and so on. So we our internet authority has decided to subdivide our domain namespace a little bit more internally. Other countries haven't done that so much. I'm trying to think of other countries that have. Not sure, but that's the way we do things.
So I've always wondered that, but yeah, I don't know. Why not why not like .com.uk? I don't know. .co.shorter.
There's a company that's got owns uk.com, and they sell subdomains to unsuspecting companies. So you often see like something.uk.com, and that's not actually like an official country level second level domain. It's somebody just bought uk.com and has is selling it off to people. So they've got basically their own little domain namespace that they've just made up on their own subdomains that they're selling off to companies.
So my next item. And I think I maybe mentioned a similar book last year. And I'll preface this. This is like not a political statement or a political book of any kind. I'm into history of like when I was a kid, mm-hmm. if that makes sense. So like things that happened from like the 80s and 90s. And like, you know, you as a kid, you remember some of that, but you don't know like the inside story. And there's a new book out called Destiny and Power, The American Odyssey of George Herbert Walker Bush. So this is the George Bush that was the president of the U.S. and from 1988 through 1992. Prior to that, he was the vice president, and prior to that, he was the director of the CIA. And this is kind of like his big – he didn't write it. Someone wrote about him, but he was heavily involved in it. And so he's in his 90s now. So one of the things that I'm interested in is how – history, like how we judged history at the time versus mm-hmm. like how we judge it now, and we want to get like a little bit of perspective on it. And I think like his presidency is one of those that looks a lot different today than it did in when it was going on or right after it, because obviously he lost his bid for re-election. So mm-hmm. That's looking like a good book, and it's actually going to be my first foray back into paper books. I think I'm going back to like regular books.
Vinyl and paper, eh?
I know. I even wonder, like, are cassette tapes coming back next? Like, you know, we'll have our mixtapes.
I'm going to make you a mixtape. You like Phil Collins?
I think Do You Like Phil Collins is the title of the show this week.
I'll take that. I was going to say, you know, it's interesting, like, with you know, Americans and their presidents, that, you know, you always feel that you've either got the greatest president ever or the worst president ever. And in fact, Europe has always had much worse people than you've ever had. So that's maybe comforting news to know in these times. I don't know.
Well, yeah, it's especially like heading into the U.S. presidential season, which, like Christmas, seems to like last way too long. Yeah. I mean, it's not even election year, and I'm already tired of it. I mean, it's not even a year. I mean, and the thing is, we don't even vote until like this time next year. Like, it's the 1st of November in 2016. Like, I can't handle it. And, but yeah, it's like I always like it'll be neat to see how we like view Obama's presidency and George W. Bush's presidencies, like, you know, when I'm like 60. Like, it'll probably, I mean, because Ronald Reagan to like all the Republicans is like, you know, the greatest thing ever. And so, but I don't,
God's representative on the earth, isn't he? Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And you know, if you're a fan of 30 Rock, like, obviously you can, you know, they talk about that a lot. And so, like, I wonder what it was like at the time. Like, what was he, how was he viewed at the time? Like, was he as revered at the time like he was now? So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting. We'll see. Time will tell. I'm going to jump in with the one I always choose, Bradley, which is battery packs for iOS devices. This is one of my favorite things to have. And I think although a lot of iOS devices are getting better, and particularly the iPhone 6 Plus has an amazing battery life, whenever it comes to things like travel or, as we do in the summer, go camping, it's always really helpful to have one or two battery packs on hand. And what I've been really struck with over the past couple of years is how much bigger these battery packs are getting in terms of their power capacity, and how much cheaper they're getting as well. So every year when I do this, I just give an update on like how big the iOS device batteries are getting now. And as you know, these capacities are measured in terms of milliamp hours. So the iPhone 6S Plus, for example, has a 2,750 milliamp hour battery. The iPad Mini 4 is 5,124. The iPad Air 2 is 7,340. And the iPad Pro is 10,307, which actually is not the highest capacity iOS battery ever shipped, as far as I know. The highest capacity battery ever shipped was the fourth generation Retina iPad, which was that one that took forever to charge. It's the one we've got in school. And that was just over 11,000 milliamp hours, I think. So the bigger devices, bigger batteries and so on. But what you're seeing now is you can see battery packs on Amazon for, you know, that maybe have 20,000 or 30,000 milliamp hours of capacity in the battery. And they're going for between, you know, 20 and 40 pounds. You know, they're way, way, way cheaper than they used to be. So that's a great gift for any big world traveler in your family or in friend circle. Someone get a battery pack. And what I kind of look for there is, you know, how fast can it charge? You're looking for a 2.1 amp charging speed if you can find it, because that's how fast iPads are supposed to charge. But, you know, if you've got a 20,000 milliamp hour battery, that's going to recharge your phone many, many times over. Recharge your iPad Pro maybe twice, just about. So it's an excellent thing to have, and I love having one myself.
Yeah, I've always got one of those. If ever I'm going like more than an hour from home, that always comes with my bag. So my next item, this is going to sound really weird, are reusable tie wraps. And like I have a pack of these. They're like less than $10 on Amazon, but they're awesome for like organizing your cables at your desk or behind your TV. And the great thing is they're reusable. And one of the things I realized, like when I bought these, I was using them to clean up the cables at my desk at work. Well, the desk legs are pretty big. They didn't work. Well, you can kind of tie them together and make really long ones. So, yeah, these are reusable tie wraps, and we'll have a link to those. I don't even know the brand name of them, but they're a super good stocking stuffer.
Are those sort of like zip ties with the release tag? Is that what you're talking about? Like the plastic straps?
Well, they are like Velcroed.
Okay, yeah, I've got some of those as well. They're soft Velcro on one side and hooks on the other. I've also seen you can get the sort of cable ties that, but they can be released instead of having to cut them off as well. So either of those are good. And a great thing with them as well is in your travel bag, wrapping up each individual cable means they don't get all tangled in your bag as well, which is great. Couldn't recommend that anymore. My next thing is something I haven't tried myself, but I'm curious about. And there's a lot of chatter about this on the various parenting fora on the web, shall we say. And this is blue light filtering glasses for using your computer devices at night. Don't know if you've seen these, Bradley. This whole idea of the kind of bluish light that computer devices produce is supposed to interfere with some kind of chemical in your brain that helps you go to sleep, or either this is the worst explanation ever of the actual biological process here, but either it causes you to produce too much of some chemical, which means you can't go to sleep, or you produce not enough of some chemical, which means you can't go to sleep. But the claim is that using your computer devices too far into the night without some kind of modifier like the Flux program, have you seen that on OS X? Which is a kind of program that over time it changes the color temperature of your display to simulate the sun going down. iOS devices don't have that. So one of the things you can get is you can buy for sort of £20 to £40. They're kind of like orange lens glasses that you can put on while you're using your device. And it's supposed to filter out these blue wavelengths of light and help you go to sleep better and things like that. And I would have thought that this just sounds like witchcraft, you know, that, you know, the color of light that you can see affects your brain or whatever. But I did take it a bit more seriously because one of the parents in school who is an optician, she told me about this research a couple of years ago, that this was going to be a thing that is coming out, that the blue wavelength light is affecting people's eyes or whatever. So I haven't tried these glasses. I can't say that they help me or not. I don't really have a problem falling asleep anyway. When you have three kids, that's not your biggest concern. But it's something that some people are finding quite useful, so it's maybe worth looking into.
Wow, that'll be pretty good. That sounds cool. And I think there was a kind of a hack to get that Flux program onto iOS as well. Like you had to through Xcode.
There was a way to do it in Xcode, but Apple shut that. I don't know if Apple shut it down, but the developers pulled it off their website.
So next thing I have is the Big Jambox. If you are in the market for a Bluetooth speaker, it is not the cheapest, but I think it's the best, and it sounds fantastic. You can take phone calls on it. It sounds pretty good. You know, again, works extremely well. I've tried 3 or 4 different ones over the past few years, and all trying to avoid buying this one because it was like $200. And I eventually just, I quit buying ones that are $50 over and over and over again. I eventually just broke down and bought the Big Jambox. So again, this goes great with your Spotify or Apple Music subscription. One other thing out of that is Spotify gift cards make great stocking stuffers for people, or great gifts for like staff members. I think you can buy them in $10 increments as well. So like it's something kind of, if you have somebody that loves music, you can pick them up a Spotify gift card at your local Target or, you know, wherever you buy stuff.
Yep, I could not love Bluetooth speakers anymore. In fact, my favorite one actually is I have a waterproof Bluetooth speaker that is stuck in my shower, which means that every morning when I wake up, I can listen to a little bit of a podcast, which is fantastic. My showers are now getting longer and longer and longer, so I can pretty much fit in. I don't know if you listen to Clockwise, which is a strictly 30-minute podcast from Jason Snell and pals, and if I listen to that at 1.5x, maybe with the smart speed on in Overcast, I can just about listen to that whole show in my shower in the morning, which is great. It's pretty cool. So my next thing, Bradley, is an Amazon Prime gift subscription, which I only just discovered you could give people. But I think Amazon Prime is one of the best value things going at the moment. Of course, you get the free shipping on everything that's fulfilled by Amazon. But the other things that are coming along with Amazon Prime, they are making it really valuable to me. In particular, Amazon Prime Video in the UK is, I want to say, at least as good as Netflix, if not, in fact, actually better than Netflix in terms of its selection and its range, and particularly the number of newish movies that are going on. So if Netflix's original series aren't your cup of tea, there's different ones on Amazon Prime. And they've also got shows like Mr. Robot, which is one of the new shows from the US that's come to the UK on Amazon Prime before it's come on, even on Sky, it's come on Amazon Prime first. And of course, they're the company that are doing the new car show with the Top Gear crew, which I'm looking forward to as well. So Amazon Prime Video is great. Amazon Prime Music is promising, but it's not really close to Apple Music yet. The apps aren't as good, and the selection is nothing like as good. But it's a service, it's there, and it could expand over time.
I look at like Amazon Music like I do, in some ways, Netflix. Like, you know, I think it's amazing that Spotify and Apple Music exist to have like new release music. But for the most part, Amazon Music is kind of like Netflix, where it's like it's not going to have new stuff. It's going to have like a ton of back catalog stuff.
Yeah. So if you're an old fart like me and you haven't liked anything new since Automatic for the People came out, Amazon Prime Music is just fine.
Well, and they have the new show that's just come out, The Man in the High Castle, which is a TV adaptation of a book that looks pretty interesting. It's a alternate reality where the U.S. lost World War II. So it looks... looks fairly interesting, and that is exclusive to Amazon.
I watched the first episode of that the other night, and it was really good. Yep.
So my next item is Apple TV, the new one. You guys know that I have been a big Roku guy for the past 2 years, and have absolutely in love with this Apple TV. They have like a new MTV app that my wife likes. There's a couple shows on MTV she likes to watch. And so there's slowly over time getting some great apps. Love the new remote control. The only negative I would say about the remote is it's harder for my oldest son to use. He could operate the Roku, and he can operate the Apple TV, but it's just a little bit more difficult for him because he's having to learn to like kind of, you know, slide his thumb on the remote, but also look and see where he's doing. Where on the Roku, it's like click, 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 click because it's a D-pad. Do love the Apple TV. My 2-year-old has also figured out how to AirPlay stuff, so that's also real fun when he randomly starts AirPlay on an iPad.
pretty cool. I think the interesting thing about the Apple TV remote is it seems like that moving your thumb across the surface is going to be a harder action to do for smaller hands, because there's a greater chance that they'll drop the remote, I think, because it's just that little bit wider. So it'll be interesting to see how kids react to that as well. My last thing, Bradley, is a travel coffee mug from a company called Contigo, Contigo. And these are completely leak-proof coffee mugs, which are, they're just the best ones I've ever seen. And quite a few colleagues at school have got these. And what they are is they've got, if you imagine, you know, your sort of standard travel mug, but the way you grip it around the sides, where your index finger lands on the far side of the cup, there's a kind of trigger that you pull in, and that pulls down a little plug inside, and that opens the drinking hole, if you like, so you can drink from it. And then as soon as you let go of that trigger, the thing springs back into place and seals it off with a rubber bung that goes right into the drinking hole. And the nice thing about some versions of it is that they have a locking mechanism as well. So there's a little switch that can go in to interlock with that trigger so that it can't be accidentally bumped as well. So between everything else, you can sort of screw this thing together, and then you can really just drop it in your bag, and it's secure enough that it will not leak in your bag. So I dropped it into the water bottle pocket in a bag that I was carrying today when I was full of Starbucks coffee. Walked for the train, and it was fine. Kept it warm, nice and light to carry as well when it's empty. So I'm a big fan of the Contigo coffee mug.
My last item is the iGrill 2. And what this is... it has like meat thermometers, like meat kind of prongs that go into a little device that has Bluetooth, and it syncs back to an iPad app. And you say, okay, prong one is on chicken, prong two is on steak, and then you can monitor the meat's temperature from your iOS device. And it'll actually send you a push notification when it's 10 degrees from the like kind of recommended done temperature. So really, really awesome. They have a smaller one called the iGrill Mini, which is just one prong, and it doesn't have a display on it. Where the iGrill 2 actually has a display that shows your it's like if you're out there, you can scroll through and see what temperature there are. This company is called iDevices. That makes it. They make a couple other things. They have a kitchen thermometer. They have a kitchen thermometer mini, and they also have have an iDevices switch, so it's kind of like a, the Belkin Wemo, but you can like control an outlet. And those are real popular this time of year because it's nice to be able to turn on your Christmas tree without having to go and plug it in.
Yes, or turn it off from your bed when you forgot to turn it off when you went to bed.
Yes, I so yeah, I love my we were putting our Christmas tree up today, and I told Leah that I wish I had something like that. But I do love the iGrill too. It's really not nice when you can just get your grill going, plug that stuff in, and come inside, and the Bluetooth works great, the push notifications work great. It's kind of one of those things that it you use it only when you grill, but when you it's really really nice. And the iGrill 2 supports up to 4 prongs, so you can buy it comes with 2, but you can buy additional ones, and you can have a if you're cooking a bunch of steaks, you can monitor each one. If people like them at different temperatures, then very easy to take them off at the right time.
I'm just going to say you had me at meat.
Yes, meat is the new bread. And bonus points if you know what show that is from. So yeah, it's the iGrill 2 from iDevices. So yeah, that was my last thing. I have one app I was going to recommend that a lot of people may or may not have. But like if you manage any sort of websites or anything like that, I'm a big fan of Vigil for the iPhone. It is a $20 a year subscription, and it's really simple website monitoring. I just got a notification a few minutes ago that our school's website is offline. I'm sure it'll be back up here shortly. Really, really nice interface. You can have up to 5 sites for the $20 a year plan, and they have additional plans if you need more. But I get email and push notifications, and I get a weekly report at the end of the week of like the uptime. So if it's something you need to report back to your supervisor on website uptime, this makes it very, very easy to do. They send you a weekly report. And so again, that's Vigil website monitoring for iOS.
Okay, I'll throw one app out there as well, which is you know how Christmas time is always do tech support for your relatives time. The two things I'm recommending people do this year is turn on iCloud Photo Library and just upgrade people to the 79 pence a month plan. Don't even discuss it with them, just do it. And the second one is 1Password. So do everything a public service and upgrade some relative to 1Password this Christmas and make the internet a safer place for everyone.
Yeah, totally agree. Hey, in worst case, if they don't want to pay for iCloud Photo Library and they have a Google account, just turn on Google Photos as a free option. And then because the free plan, which does a little bit of compression, doesn't cost anything. So surely everybody's got a Google account.
I did a heroic diving save last week for a colleague who had an 8GB iPhone 4, which was completely full and couldn't update any apps. So I ended up turning on, she had a brand new iPad mini 4 and an iPhone 4 8GB, which was full. So I downloaded all her photos to my computer in school, and then I uploaded them through the web browser to iCloud Photo Library. And this is a great, and if people don't know about this, you can actually upload a whole bunch of photos through a web browser to iCloud Photo Library on a desktop computer, so that if you have a situation like that, because her phone, not only could it not update anything because of storage, but it also couldn't update to iOS 9 either because it was an iPhone 4. So I couldn't just turn on Photo Library on the device and let it do its thing. I had to get the photos off somehow and get them into her iCloud Photo Library some other way. So uploaded them through the browser, and then all her photos appeared on her iPad, which she was fine with, and I had taken them off her phone. And sooner or later, she's going to upgrade to a newer iPhone. She'll have 9 on it, and all her photos will just come flying back from iCloud Photo Library as well. I'm a huge fan of iCloud Photo Library, and I'm recommending it for everyone now.
So those are some of our gift ideas. We'll have links to all these in the show notes. And so if there's any that we missed, obviously let us know on Twitter. I also want to say thanks for all the great feedback on my kind of not soapbox rant, but my kind of deep dive into some personal things I was working through in terms of how I interact with technology. Got lots of good emails, at replies, and DMs, people saying that they were kind of considering the same thing. I just wonder if we may be kind of at peak social in society and people are kind of like taking a step back.
You can probably report back to us on how that's going before the end of the year. I'd be interested to know.
Yeah, absolutely. I've lost 5 pounds and making more money, and the marriage is better. It's working great. No, I'm kidding.
Yep. Your car's just running smooth.
Yeah, well, I'm about to pay one off, so that means it's about to break.
Yes. That's exactly what it means.
So, great. But I am on Twitter at Bradley Chambers. I'm on the web at chambersdaily.com.
Okay, and I am Fraser Spears on Twitter and spears.org on the web.
You can leave a review on iTunes if you don't mind. It's itunes.com/out of school. And we appreciate you sharing the show with any colleagues or anybody that might be interested in things we talk about. We've got some cool things planned for 2016. I got another year of out of school that we're excited about. And so, again, we'll have two more shows for this year. We talk about some new deployment changes with iOS 9. And then we'll take a 2-week break. So hope everybody has a great week.